This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Want The Rock and KD's hand or LeBron's hand at the end of the game? Which one? Who do you want shooting the ball at the end of the game? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I don't want phone calls talking about, well, I want the ball in LeBron's hand because he makes better decisions, but I want, if it's going to come down to a shot, KD. Okay, let me take that off your plate. They're shooting. Made you look. Let's see if anyone got that. Raj had a delayed smile. The point is, give me LeBron. Because I think KD's a way better shooter than LeBron. He's an all-time great shooter, a pure shooter. LeBron's just a dude who can shoot. But with the chips on the line, it's something different. I'm not talking about can you stick your chest out when you know you have overwhelming odds on your side. You ever been in a situation in the street or anywhere where you have a bunch of people with you, right? You get brave then. You see certain people get brave versus if you're by yourself or one or two guys and then maybe it's not so lopsided, then who gets brave, right? I've seen LeBron, no matter what the circumstances, with his chest out. I have not seen KD do that yet. It doesn't mean KD can't do that, but he hasn't yet, including on an OKC squad that was really good. And I don't mean the original one with Harden and Westbrook when everyone was babies. I'm talking about in 2015-16 at Oracle, Game 7, Western Conference Finals. He went away in the second half. He wasn't great. Neither was Westbrook. I saw LeBron in the very next series in the finals, same situation, Game 7 at Oracle, be the best player on the floor. So who do you want? The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. You know who Magic Johnson wants? Because he was on the Tonight Show when the question was posed. Now we listen to the Tonight Show sound, guys. Right now.
You're down by two with 2 seconds left in the game. Who do you want taking the last shot, LeBron or KD?
Oh, man.
This is going to rock the sports world. This is going to rock the sports world. Oh, my
God. Yikes. Oh, man. Now, you know KD is a scorer. And, you know, one of the greatest we've ever seen at that position. But I got to ride the winner, too. I got to ride LeBron. Because he got more championships than KD.
Now, you think Magic is just saying that because he signed LeBron when he was GM, when he was president of the Lakers? You think he's just saying that because he gets validated because of all the championships, Magic? This ain't football or baseball, people. It does validate you in a different way, the championships in the NBA. In the NBA, not just in basketball, in the NBA. The greatest players of all time win the most championships. They do. It's a fundamentally deterministic sport. Now, look, sometimes LeBron is on a great team with Kyrie and Kevin Love, and you're going up against the Warriors where they had just won 73 games, and then they added Kevin Durant. You're not going to beat him no matter what. LeBron had no shot, right? I don't hold that against him. But if you're a great player for a long time and you're on a lot of great teams, I don't want to hear, well, they just ran into, you know, Karl Malone would have, but he ran into Michael Jordan. Well, get your game up. Beat Michael Jordan. Oh, he can't do that. He's the best. Right. That's why Jordan won all the championships, because he's the best. Well, they could have, but they ran into LeBron in the East. You couldn't get, oh, they would have got, right, but they ran into LeBron, who's better than anyone they got. So his team won. A lot of times it works that way. So I don't think it's just Magic validating himself. The reason Magic won all those championships is because he was Magic Johnson. If some other team had Magic Johnson, who also had a lot of great players, they would have won the championships. But they didn't. They had other guys who weren't as good as Magic. That is how it works. Whether people like it or not, that is how it works.
Well, does that mean that Robert Horry is the greatest? Because he would have shut up.
Robert Horry was not the central piece of a nucleus of a championship team. He was a very good player whose presence helped his team win championships. That ain't the same thing, and you know it. Meantime, Dr. J, Hall of Fame. Dr. J has become underrated. Like in the ABA, that dude was a scoring leader with 10, 12 boards a game on top of everything else, and the best player on the championship team and the most exciting player in the world in basketball. That was his prime. And when he got to the NBA, he was past his prime, but still really good. A perennial all-star who wound up winning a championship once they got Moses Malone. Does not have LeBron James on his all-time team. This is his explanation why.
Well, you look at, you know, LeBron and, you know, anybody he sort of picks with him to be, you know, playing with so many guys. The guy who has led the charge in terms of super teams being put together.
Yeah.
You know, when he put together a team in Miami, he basically put together a team together in Cleveland as well, and put together a team in Los Angeles or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he could pick his own team. I ain't gonna pick his team. Not bad about LeBron.
LeBron would argue, because I know he would probably come back to me, but he will argue that these super teams always existed. If you look at all the championship teams, they've always had 2, 3, or even sometimes 4 all-stars.
Players weren't picking their own teams.
Yeah, but I agree here with Chris Haynes. That was posted up with Chris Haynes that Dr. J was on. I agree with him, and I agree with LeBron. Dr. J, great guy, one of the greatest all-time players, is wrong here. When Dr. J and Andrew Toney and all those guys got Moses Malone, who apologies, and by the way, Maurice Cheeks, apologies to Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. Moses Malone was the best player in basketball back then. Moses Malone is another one, like Dr. J, one of the most underrated players of all time. Moses Malone gave Kareem at his best hell, right? The chairman of the boards. Moses Malone, it's because he didn't have any fancy talent like the other dudes. The dude just worked. Moses Malone was a monster and frequently a top 2 to 3 player in the league and sometimes the best player in the league. The year the 76ers won the championship, he was better than Bird or Magic, and everyone thought so, right? Like, we have a little bit of revisionist history because it's kind of inconvenient to stick Moses in there, but he was. And when the 76ers got him, when Houston had him, Houston was always in the mix, giving the Lakers hell in the Western Conference. And then the 76ers got him, and they won the championship. So, yeah, those were super teams, just like the Lakers were super teams. With, you know, forget about Norm Nixon and all these guys. They had Magic and Kareem. How many guys do you need? And they had other all-star caliber players. The Celtics, too. Bird and McHale. Oh, by the way, and Robert Parrish and Dennis Johnson. They had a lot of great players. So I don't care if the player or the GM puts it together. What difference does it make? I ain't holding that against LeBron. I'm just giving him credit as a GM. CP the Franchise, NBA analyst, and Knicks fan TV here on the Max Kellerman Show. Coming off a loss. Boy, are you in the dumps about the Knicks losing that game, CP?
You know what, Max? It was a tough night. The Garden was electric. 2,000 fans strong, sounded like a sold-out house. I was in the building with the Rhyme Animal, Chuck D, calling the game like Marv Albert and Johnny Hoops. But we took one of the best teams in the league, one of the best teams in the West, to the brink in a dogfight in our building. And we took them to the brink. And in the end, their close is closed. CP3 was fantastic. Devin Booker was unstoppable all night. They got some timely threes out of Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson and the like. And, you know, Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, our top two dogs, they didn't have it last night, but they still fought. Derrick Rose, as I've been telling you on this show a couple weeks back, he's been the X factor for this team. Derrick Rose put this offense on his back, and it was a vintage Rose performance. It was just not enough.
No, they're not the same without Rose. You're right about that. Let me say this. I'll surprise you. First of all, shame on you for forking over money to James Dolan and being in the Garden. That's shame on you, CP. However,
it's not for Dolan. It's for the team.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's who gets right. That's who gets the money, not Dolan. Yeah, I forgot. Right, the team gets that money, goes to the team. But let me say this: that was an honorable way to lose a winning streak. I call it like I see it. I give it up. No one's going to win forever. You're going to lose some games sometimes, and in your 10th game, when you've won 9 in a row, even if it's at home, to go out like that against one of the best teams in basketball, and it comes down to the wire. If not for Chris Paul, they don't win that game probably, right?
Right.
That's going to happen. That's an honorable way for the Knicks to lose. Yeah. I agree. But it did expose one thing. The Knicks come at you with a lot of nice pieces. You know, and had they taken Halliburton instead of Toppin, they'd be even better, and they should have, and I thought so at the time. A lot of people did. But anyway, yeah. Derrick Rose is good, as you mentioned. Not in his prime, but really good. Quickly is good. Barrett is good. Obviously, Julius Randle has been playing at superstar level most of this year. But they don't have the one guy, and it's not Julius Randle's fault. It's the position he plays. It's the way he's built. They don't have that one ball handler guy who can take over a game at superstar level on the team.
Correct.
And the Suns have two of those guys, and that's why they lost that game, let's be honest.
Absolutely right. We're still missing that dog in the perimeter that can take us home when Julius can't, or when Derrick Rose may get gassed at the end of the games, or while R.J. Barrett is still on the ascent.
Right.
But nevertheless, Max, this 9-game winning streak showed the league, mm-hmm. the players, and the NBA world at large what even a modicum of success can do and endear yourselves to the hearts of the Knicks fans. This is what Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving ran from. They ran from that smoke. They ran from that pressure. They ran from the
pressure. They wanted to go to a team. They wanted to go to a team. The Brooklyn Nets are now where the Knicks are hoping to be. They established a winning culture and a healthy culture, and they were able to turn that into Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving. And one day the Knicks will be so lucky to do that. Hey, let me tell you something. Enjoy this. Take all the smell of the roses now, because when the Nets are still playing after a month since the Knicks have been sitting at home, no one be thinking about the Knicks. The whole world, the eyes of the sports world will be squarely on the Brooklyn Nets. And you're going to have to wait till the next year to start talking about the Knicks again.
Again, if your Nets do not win this championship, as they've stacked the deck over there in Brooklyn, it will be the biggest embarrassment of sports. But until then, the Knicks have owned New York. They've owned the basketball world. Even LeBron James was on top of this winning streak. That's how big it was. When the Knicks are good, the NBA is good.
By the way, you sound just like me when I was younger than you. I used to be like, well, Michael Jordan said he respects beating the Knicks more than anyone in the world. I was like, oh, yeah. The best player in the world beats me, and he's happier about that than when he beats the other team. Oh, it's such a sad state of affairs. CP, the franchise NBA analyst on the Goodyear Hotline here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Yeah. So, Magic Johnson was on on late night last night and said that he would rather have the taking the last shot, LeBron James taking the last shot, than Kevin Durant. And CP, KD's a better shooter than LeBron. He's a pure scorer, and LeBron is not, from the outside especially. But anywhere, KD's one of the all-time great scorers in a way that LeBron is not. And yet, there's a meme or a gif or whatever you want to call it, whatever you young whippersnappers call it, of me saying, give me Iguodala, right? I want Iguodala because I said if the Martians had the death beam pointed at the Earth, fate of the Earth on the line, open look at the basket, not get your own shot, I'll take Iguodala over Steph. I wouldn't anymore,
Iguodala.
By the way. There it is. I want Iguodala. I wouldn't anymore, by the way, because I saw Steph come through against Toronto in a close game without a lot of help, but that's the first time he'd done that. With the ultimate pressure. He had choked a lot. Let's call it what it is. Deep in the playoffs in the past. Here's the thing about KD. CP, we know what it is. You grew up in New York. You got a little beef, and then you got some dudes with you, and you feel like the odds, and you're in your favor. Some guys stick their chest out. But when maybe the odds aren't in your favor or it's close, then people don't stick their chests out the same way. I have seen LeBron with his chest out against all odds throughout his career under pressure. I have not seen KD come through under those circumstances the same way. So with that as the backdrop, open look, who do you want taking the last shot, fate of the universe on the line, LeBron or KD?
Yeah. Well, as I just said, Kevin Durant has been running from the pressure, running from the smoke his whole career. That being said, I'm with Magic. I'm going with LeBron. Even though KD is a better shooter, I'm going with LeBron because he's more battle-tested. Mm-hmm. He has more success in pressure situations and more failures. And based on those failures, you can learn from those situations and become a better player in closing time, a much smarter player in closing time when you're adjusting to those defenses out of the timeout, knowing when to, it may be a pass, it may be a shot, it may be a layup, whatever it is. I trust LeBron James to make the right decision more than I would Kevin Durant.
Yeah, that's exactly. And by the way, I'm not talking about ball in his hands at the end of the game, who's going to make the right basketball play. I think a lot of people might say LeBron then. I'm talking about shooting the rock. Shooting it. I saw LeBron, again, I'll point this out. I was at game on my own dime. Sometimes I'll do this when I think it's important to be there. I went to game 7 of the Western Conference Finals in 16 at Oracle, and I went to game 7 of the finals, right? When you get out of your mother's basement, because you're heading places in your career, you will also be able to afford
I got
going
my
to
own
those
place,
places.
Baby.
Like
I got my own,
okay, that's
this
very
is
good.
My own territory right here.
All right. This is my own territory. CP, lunch is ready. Shut up, Mom. I'm on the radio. Anyway, so I went there and saw KD on a loaded squad. Like, that Thunder squad looked like it could go all, like it would upset the apple cart, maybe beat the Warriors and the Cavs that year. Steven Adams and Ibaka, they had size, they had talent. Westbrook, Durant, they went away. KD and Westbrook went away fourth quarter. LeBron, in the very next series, game seven, same situation. He made the Warriors go away. I agree with you. I take LeBron.
Absolutely. I'm taking LeBron in the biggest spot. As I said, battle tested, more of a leader. You know, as you mentioned, KD in those 2016 playoffs, they had the Warriors on the brink. That was a good team. I wish they would have stayed together. But, you know, also give credit to the Warriors as well. Klay Thompson had an outstanding series. Steph was Steph. But LeBron James at that time was the king of the league. Took over when it needed to on defense and offensively. And like I said, with the last shot, I'm going with LeBron James because he's going to make a better decision.
I love the fact that CP as a background just keeps his same bedroom with the stuff up from high school still.
I still got the dunk, the original dunk.
He's got the bomb right? squad the with Mark Jackson and,
that's right.
and General
that's
Wilkins that's right. in the background somewhere. I know that poster is somewhere, CP.
Yeah, that's right.
Looking at the Western Conference, we were talking to Kendrick Perkins today on First Take, and I was talking to him on the radio on this show yesterday, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, CP, the franchise NBA analyst here on the line. And Perk was telling me he's taking the Clippers, even if the Lakers are fully loaded, because, and I understand this, Rondo, his presence, it really helps organize the offense, you know, because Kawhi's not a natural point forward. He can do it. He's learned how to do it. But Rondo is really a third star when it matters most in the playoffs. And the Clippers are deep, and if they're healthy, they're good. But I still think, CP, if LeBron and AD are healthy, that's the team to beat in the West. How would you rank the super teams in the West right now? Let's leave Denver out because they don't have Jamal Murray. One through four, who are the best teams in the West?
Yeah. I'm going to put Utah at one just because they've earned that, those accolades.
Wrong. Go ahead,
I'm
going to
put the
okay. Yeah. Oh, no, sorry.
I'm going with Utah at one. Until LeBron comes back and I see the chemistry of the Lakers, I'm going with Utah at one. Okay. I'm going with the Lakers
again,
at two.
Yes.
I'm going with the Suns at three. Lakers and I'll go with the Clippers at four right now.
Clippers at four. Now, why do you have the Clippers at four? I'm surprised by that.
Listen, I just think the Suns, I watched the Suns in person last night. I just think they are fully loaded with Chris Paul and Devin Booker.
I get it now.
I like Mikal
Bridges. They beat the Knicks. Oh, my God. The Suns just beat the Knicks.
Yeah,
they can beat anybody.
Make no mistake.
The Suns against the 72-win Bulls. Suns, I'll take the Suns in four. Yes.
If you can get past that vaunted Knicks defense, you are on the way, sir. You have to pass the test. No, but honestly, that Suns team with Chris Paul, Devin Booker, you have two superstars. You have three-point shooting abound between Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, DeAndre Ayton playing big, you know, crashing the boards. You still have Kaminsky and those guys off the bench. Cameron Payne having a resurgent career. The Phoenix Suns are fully loaded. They're top 10 offense and a top 10 defense. I'm going to put them over the Clippers. I'm with Kendrick Perkins on the Rondo acquisition. That was key for the Clippers. One of the differences I see between this Clipper team and the Nets team, Clipper team from last year did not have a point guard in the playoffs when it truly mattered, and they put too much onus on Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to generate offense for the team, and they fell short. The Rondo addition should help get them over the hump, but I still got to put the Lakers above them, and I'm still going to put Phoenix above them for right now.
Well, even if I disagree, it's astute analysis, I think. Interesting analysis. By the way, what's for lunch? A PB&J with a crust cut off, or what's your mom
making? Max, I just threw down some grilled chicken on the skillet.
Oh,
I had some sweet potato fries, a nice salad, getting ready to destroy you once again on CP versus
sweet
Kellerman.
Sweet potato fries.
Yeah.
By the way,
lunchtime. You got to switch it up.
Yeah. Well, no, I can't do the white potatoes either. By the time you get to
sweet
be my age,
you have
one French fry and that's it. You get fat. You got to do sweet potatoes.
You're done.
And brown rice.
You're in the dad bod Olympics right after that.
Oh, 100%. Dad bod Olympics. I got a gold medal. What are you talking about? CP the franchise, ladies and gentlemen. You join me on. Thank
Real quick,
you, CP.
Can I give my top five?
Yeah, go.
Dr. J, I'm going with my top five of my era from who I've seen.
Okay.
Modern era. I'm going with Steph at the one.
Mm-hmm. That's incorrect.
I'm going MJ at the two.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm going LeBron at the three.
All right.
KD at the four.
All right.
Tim Duncan at the five.
Okay.
That is an unstoppable lineup, Dr. J.
The answer, if you need to know, is LeBron at the one, Jordan at the two.
You could.
KD
you could.
At the three, Bird at the four, and I'm taking Hakeem at the five. See what I'm saying?
How do you leave the best shooter in NBA history off that list?
Oh, I want, but I got plenty of shooting. Do you hear what I just said? Bird. I got plenty of shooting.
Yeah.
All right. CP, until next time, we could do this all day. But until next time, CP the franchise, ladies and gentlemen, he appears weekly on the Max Kellerman Show. Thanks, CP.
Thanks a lot.
Join me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. Your calls, plus you're about a trade no one sees coming in my mocked draft. Good news for baseball fans. You will be allowed to attend games this season where you sit in pods with your group. And businesses everywhere are making the gradual shift toward normalcy, too, which means more hiring. That's where ZipRecruiter comes in. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free only at ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Dr. J, get it right? Leaving LeBron off his all-time teams? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. It is time for Max's Dirty Dozen. My mocked draft 1.0. Not mocked. Mocked. The Jags on the clock at number one. It's going to be a short clock. They're going to take Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence goes to the Jags, and we all know that Zach Wilson goes to the Jets. Who do the 49ers take at number three? I believe that what they're talking about now, well, we thought we knew who we wanted, and now we're not sure, is a smokescreen. I think there's a little too much smoke coming their way about Mac Jones. They just want everyone off their backs. So they're pretending like it might be Justin Fields or Trey Lance. It's going to be Mac Jones. That's three. At four. Now, Justin Fields and Trey Lance still available at this point, right? The Chicago Bears trade up, and they take Justin Fields at four. Fields is the fourth quarterback taken, and 1, 2, 3, and 4 are all quarterbacks. Chicago would be nuts to let this guy slip through their fingers. If they're willing to trade all of that to get Russell Wilson, it didn't work. Why not trade much less than they would have had to give up for Russell Wilson to go up and grab a quarterback of the future who they're not going to have to pay for 5, 6 years, for like 4 or 5 years. At number five, a lot of people think you put Kyle Pitts with Joe Burrow. Oh, it's a problem. I agree with that. And I probably would go tight end here. Whether or not you need it, whether or not you have enough guys to catch the ball, take the best available player. I don't think that's what the Bengals are going to do. Number one, I don't think the Bengals are a very well-run organization. But number two, Sewell, the offensive tackle, the left tackle, just saw his stats or his height and weight up there on ESPN, plus 6'6", 330, right? Like, the dude's a monster. But I think given a catastrophic injury that ended his season, it's got to be priority one to protect Joe Burrow's blind side. I think that's what they're going to do. Leaving Kyle Pitts, which I admit I like, and maybe this is the reason I have him slipping past the Bengals, I'd like to see him on the Dolphins. I want to see what Tua can do with a safety net type of player like Kyle Pitts. Stephen A. was talking about this on First Take a couple weeks ago. I agree with him. I really would like to see Pitts on the Dolphins, and I think there's a very good chance he falls to the Dolphins. Number seven, the Detroit Lions. Now, a lot of people have Ja'Marr Chase because of his size going as the first receiver. Or some people, what about Jaylen Waddle because of his speed? I saw DeVonta Smith. Like, the tape is what I'm looking at. DeVonta Smith just had the greatest championship game in the history of college football, maybe, for wideouts. I mean, and he gives you those football player textbook answers. You know, he drank the Kool-Aid a long time ago when it comes to all that stuff. It seems like he's just the kind of guy you want on your team, and I think Detroit's going to take him, leaving Ja'Marr Chase to the Panthers, which is where I think he'll go at 8. The Broncos on the clock at 9. How do the Broncos work this right now? Do they take on a project at quarterback who may never pan out, but who has high upside? Or do they just grab a great player, lots of great defensive players? Not even one has been taken yet in my mocked draft. Not mock, mocked. Do they take a defensive player, a defensive stud? Or do they go quarterback? The answer is they go quarterback, because other than the Bears, no team, or certainly no executive, has to get this right. More like there's more pressure on the Broncos here than any other team to get the quarterback right finally. And in Trey Lance, they have a guy who they can develop for a while before they have to start him if need be. Or if he wins the competition in training camp, then boom, he's your starter right away, and you can start developing him on, you know, as your starter right away. I think they go Trey Lance at 9, the Broncos, leaving Patrick Surtain the second to the dreaded Dallas Cowboys. Oh, I really wanted him to fall to the Giants. I think the Cowboys get the best corner in the draft in Surtain. The Giants at 11. Jalen Waddle still there. Still there. You got some offensive tackles with talent still there. I don't think the Giants will pass on Parsons because he's maybe the best defensive player in the draft. Like, he might be. He's a do everything you need him to do and plus get to the quarterback linebacker. You know, sound like anyone you know from the Giants' past? Giants used to have some great linebackers, and I think they're going to get a great one in Parsons. I think that's who they're going to take at 11. Leaving Jalen Waddle to the Eagles. They could use a receiver. Jalen Waddle could easily be the best receiver in this draft. He's not just fast. He's what Customato used to say about Mike Tyson. He's sudden. And he does remind me of Tyreek Hill. Doesn't mean he'll be as good as Tyreek Hill, but like, Tyreek Hill is an unanswerable weapon, and Waddle has a chance to be something like that. So there's my mocked draft, 1 through 12. What do you think? Meantime, hear what Baker Mayfield had to say about Sasquatch and UFOs. Was he making any sense? I'm going to get into it in a second. Did you miss any of the Max Kellerman show today? Oh, it was... This show actually wasn't worth listening to. Most times I say, hey, you got to really listen to the show. This one was just okay. So don't worry about this one. But usually, it's a really good show to listen to. You can always find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. That's it. Go to commercial.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
So here is Baker Mayfield talking about UFOs. And do we have the Sasquatch sound also, Raj? Or is this just UFOs? All right, here's Baker Mayfield. Listen to Baker.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch. So it's real. I saw it. I'm glad the Navy finally confirmed some more pictures. Now everybody doesn't think I'm as crazy. I believe.
First of all, that wasn't Sasquatch. That was some offensive lineman who doesn't shear his body hair, I'm pretty sure, that he saw. And secondly, that wasn't an alien. That was Sam Cassell. And how dare you say that Sam Cassell looks like an alien, even though he just looks exactly like E.T. Now listen, Baker Mayfield is not wrong. There is unquestionably life in the universe, not on Earth, obviously. You have to be nuts not to understand this. Just the numbers alone tell you it must be. In our own solar system, we're wondering, is there life on one of Saturn's moons, you know, under the ice somewhere? So yes, of course, the universe, I'm sure, is teeming with life. But the odds that we have been visited by an extraterrestrial, I don't think are very high. Other than maybe some kind of bacteria or something that comes on a comet. And in terms of Sasquatch, while there have been many hominid species to have existed on Earth even before humans, the odds that one survived and is still lurking out there, Baker, you must see, it's very, very low. There's also no such thing as astrology, not really. And some other stuff too, but I don't want to offend anyone. Now listen, I will say this. I believe I am part Yeti. I believe I am part Yeti because my body hair grows without curling, just straight like a Yeti. You understand? I have to take electric clippers before I can be seen in the summer and shear down. For my wool, I could sell it at the market or something. It's unbelievable what's going on. So yes, extraterrestrial life unquestionably exists, and hominid species other than humans existed on this earth. But Baker, you have seen neither.
No, Max.
Yes.
Do you believe at some point, at one point or another, there were a such thing as vampires?
Why would, who, what? No, like magic hocus pocus stuff? No.
Okay. How about a unicorn? A unicorn?
No, and I don't understand that. My daughters love unicorns, my youngest daughter especially. What's the attraction to the unicorn? A horse with a horn on its head? So what? Yeah.
Okay. How about long, long time ago, maybe dragons?
No, there's no such thing as dragons. There are Komodo dragons, but they don't breathe fire. Yeah.
Okay. What Your house would be no fun to grow up in. Can't believe it. Nothing.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of... You ever know what a tardigrade is? A tardigrade.
No, did it breathe fire?
It's called a... What do they call them? A water... I forget what they're called already, but they're tiny microscopic animals that can survive in space. They curl up... And water pigs, I think they're called.
Shrimp.
Yeah, tardigrades.
You mean shrimp?
No.
Well, you ain't talking about nothing but some fried shrimp.
They can dehydrate themselves and curl up into a ball. They're microscopic. You can't see them with the naked eye. But you could have them in moss in your backyard. And they've sent them to space. And they can live in outer – they can survive the void of outer space because they essentially go into a mini-death. And they can live that way for decades and decades. And then when in a moist environment, can come alive again. And they look like little animals. If you look at them under a microscope, they actually have hands and feet and a little face. Tardigrades. There's amazing stuff on the earth. You don't have to make up all kinds of fantasy nonsense.
Yeah. Dragon and vampires and Sasquatch are better. Get to the phone calls.
I mean, you watch, Game of Thrones if you want to see all that stuff. We know, which I do. That's what the movies are for. That's what spectacle is for. Read a Lord of the Rings book or something. I don't know what to tell you. Eric in Arizona, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey there, Max. Yeah, I just was thinking about it, and I wonder if Jordan Love could be on the table. Is there a team out there, or is there a player that Green Bay would be willing to move off him as their future QB?
You know what? That's interesting you bring that up. Someone just mentioned this to me the other day. Someone in the football fraternity mentioned it to me the other day that they don't know if Green Bay is in love with Jordan Love. And not that he, if that's true, then Green Bay could be in the market to draft a quarterback, right? Or maybe draft one next year or the year after. Could you imagine? Aaron Rodgers would hit the roof. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's out of the question that Jordan Love could get dealt, especially the way Aaron Rodgers has been playing. Remember, he was drafted after a year in which Aaron Rodgers looked like he was maybe a little over the hill because he was learning a new system. The question was, is he getting acclimated to LaFleur's system, or is he getting old? And this last year proved beyond a shadow of a doubt he was getting acclimated to a new system. So now that they see that, maybe they move on from Jordan Love. It's an interesting point. Maybe is there another team that would be interested and believe in him the way the Packers obviously did just a year ago? Roland in Michigan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, so, obviously I agree with you on the LeBron take. I think LeBron's one of the greatest shooters of all time. I wanted to know what you thought between Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Who would you rather take the last shot?
That's a great question. You can't go wrong either way. I might take Devin Booker. I think Devin Booker's a more talented scorer than Chris Paul. Chris Paul put on a show last night against the Knicks. He had that one crazy shot, but he hit three shots late that really iced the game. But Devin Booker's averaging 25 points. I mean, not that Chris Paul couldn't average that if he wanted to. Chris Paul's a great player. But so is Booker. Booker's kind of getting slept on by some people. I don't know why. I used to think he's one of these empty stat guys on a bad team. And then I saw him in the bubble. I'm like, no. He and Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell really opened my eyes in the bubble last year. I thought, well, these are three guys who can really elevate when the stakes get higher and play at MVP level. Tyler in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's going on, Max?
Yeah, Don.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I agree with Dr. J on his comments. You know, that was his era. You know, I understand that those were great players, but the players of today, they do run and gun. They're powerful. They have a more broad skill set than
you're talking about better, not greater. You know, if I said who's the how many sprinters today are better than Jesse Owens? The answer is all of them are better. And because we can objectively, better is measured by how fast you go from point A to point B. We can look at the time and say they're all better than Jesse Owens. How many are as great? How'd they do against their contemporaries? So even if you're arguing today's players are better, I think largely that's true, than players from when Dr. J was a kid, right, that he watched, Elgin Baylor, Jerry West. Of course, they're better than those guys. But who's greater? How did these guys do in there against their contemporaries versus those guys against their contemporaries? And then how good were the contemporaries, right? Like, was it a small sample of players? So you get wild deviation from the mean? Or were there a huge, was it a huge international game with amazing levels of competition? So it's hard to really stick your head out. Those are the questions we must ask. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Shanae Ngolick Jr. coming up. I will see you tomorrow.
I want Iguodala.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.